What time is this year? 8:30, I believe. 8:30 to 10 an hour each. Okay, we left off on the Mishnah on Tes Vav Amanav. The Mishnah has a double machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Unrelated. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi have many machlokes. But the Mishnah records two machlokes regarding Kriya Shema between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. The first is, what's the halacha of the person who recites the Kriya Shema and doesn't say it loud enough that it should be mashmir liyoznov? So Rabbi Yossi says, lo yotzel, even to the Yevet, he hasn't been yotzel, the mitzvah, this is considered like hear. Here her Kriya Shema, believe on we pass from here who is loved to be the dummy. One is not yet to Kriya Shema, he's just Mahare. How does he know? How does Rabbi Yossi know that? Because it says Shema, Tashma Liyoznacha. You have to say the Kriya Shema loud enough, and you should be Shameach. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and he says that the Yevid one is Yossi. Then there's a second achlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, and a completely unrelated issue. Korabala Dikdek Biyosi Yosef. A person recited the Kriya Shema, he pronounced all of the words properly, but he mixed up all of the L's and the Ra, and the Shvano, and the Shvanoch. Shema Yisrael. Place instead of Yisrael. Put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, or he mixed up everything. He was reading all of the Kudas, everything he read right, but that's not the way you say Hebrew. So that's a machlokas said right, but that's not the way you say Hebrew. So that's a machlokas atanoim, whether the Yevid one is Yotzi. Rabbi Yossi says, B'riyevid you are Yotzi. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo Yotzi. What is that based on? What's the pasuk over there? So the Gemara tells us on Amud Beis, towards the bottom, that there's seven lines before the bottom. Tani Rav Avadya Kamei D'Rovim. Here's the two dots. The Gemara starts a new paragraph. On Tes Vav Amud Beis. Tani Rav Avadya Kamei D'Rovim. Rav Avadya was reciting a brayis in the presence of Rav. Ulematim Osam Es B'nei'chem. So the simple pshat, Ulematim Osam. And you should teach over these things. Ulamadatem means atem tilamdu. Atem tilamdu. You should learn these with your children. You should teach these to your children. So the Gemara has a braisa that has another drosh. Ulamadatem shiheli mutchatam. Ulamadatem shiheli mutchatam. That when you recite Kriya Shema, you should recite every word properly. You should have the proper pronunciation. You shouldn't confuse mila'el and mila'ra, and you shouldn't swallow up letters, and you shouldn't change the shvanah to a shvanah, and the shvanah to a shvanah, and so on. Sheyehele mutchatam. That's what the Gemara says, when we learned menachas, we came before such a drosha. The Gemara learns that the mitzvah of mezuzah, from the pasuk of chsav tom, al mezuzah's beisach misharechah. So the simple pshat is chsav tom, you should write these words, the parashis of Shema v'Horem Shemoyah, on the doorpost. You should write it on parchment on the doorpost. So the Gemara has a drasha, uchsav tom, ksiva tama. You should write a perfect ksav, that you shouldn't have the letters touching each other. And if you have an egiya sarisiya, if one letter is touching the other, you are lacking mukav kvil. And the halacha says that the mezuzah is possible, because you have to have every ois has to be surrounded from all the dalet ruchas, from all the four sides, with empty space. So just like the Gemara darshan is uchsav tom, ksiva tama by the mezuzah, so to the Gemara darshan say, lamadatem, limutam, shehei limut chatam, you should pronounce every word properly. So the shayla says that me'akid b'niyevet, so that's the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says that b'niyevet gam ken lo yotza, that if the person mispronounces the words, mele'el, mele'rash, manosh, manoch, or he swallows up letters, he speaks, so he reads the Kriya Shema the way we speak a regular spoken language, the way we swallow up letters all the time, but people understand what we're driving at. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not Yossi even b'niyevet. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that Russia. Ulamadatem shiyehele mutchatam is only lachatchidu, but it doesn't imply that the Yevid also is not Yotze. That's the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. So one might have thought that you have to take a stand over here. Either you pass like Rabbi Yehuda all the way, or you pass like Rabbi Yossi all the way. If you should pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that if you recite Kriya Shema, you're not mashmir liyozno, that you're Yotze. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you are Yotze, but even though you said it softly. Then you have to pass like Rabbi Yehuda on the second issue also, that if Korakula Digda goes here, say Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yotze. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not Yotze B'Yevet if you don't say, you don't pronounce every letter, every syllable clearly and properly and so on. And if you want to pass like Rabbi Yossi, that by the slight swallowing up of letters, you are Yotze, then you should pass like Rabbi Yossi on the first issue also, that if Korakula Hishmili Yotze is Lo Yotze. So one might have argued, you have to take a stand. Either you follow Rabbi Yehuda, you follow Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says no, because they're unrelated. One is a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. What does the word Shema mean? Does it require Hashma liyoznacha? Do you have to recite Kriya Shema loud enough that you should hear it or not? And the other machlokes is unrelated. Also, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi happens to be Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, but it's unrelated. How do you darshan the pasuk? Ulamaratem shehein limud chatam. Does that mean lachatchila? Does it even mean b'dieved? So the Gemara says it's not necessarily tali zeh b'zeh. You can pass like Rabbi Yosi in both if you want. Rabbi Yosi is not. Rabbi Yosi. You pass like Rabbi Yudin both, like Rabbi Yosi, but you can split your psak also. So the Gemara says we happen to split the psak. And paskin in both cases lahokin. We paskin that in the first case, if a person recites Kriya Shema softly and he was not Mashmili Ozna, so then the din is like Rabbi Yudin, that you are Yosef to the Yevon. Hakhili should be Mashmili Ozna, but the Yevon is Yosef without it. And in the second case of Korav Ladikdik Vos Yaseh, there we don't paskin like Rabbi Yudin. There we paskin like Rabbi Yosef. That's the next Gemara, that's what we're up to. The Gemara says on Amid Beis, and says Rav Amid Beis, where is it? About 20 lines. Right, Amar Abtevi, Amar Abyesha, Alokha, Gidibe Shneem Lokha. Right, that's what we got up to last time. That the Gemara says we pass like a contradiction, so to speak. We don't pass like Rav Yudin both, we don't pass like Rav Yosi both. We pass in the Hokel on both issues. Because they're not totally Zebizet, they're not interrelated. But they stand a different brush in each case. The person knows himself that he swallows up letters and sees. If you say it quickly, then you're always going to be swallowing. You have to say Kriya Shema. The Hatchili certainly have to recite the Kriya Shema very slowly in order to separate all the letters and all the words and so on. The person knows if he's saying quickly that he's swallowing up letters. So, that's only the Yevid. He's Yetzir Vipashma. The Hatchili, it's not good. According to the other Tanya, according to the beauty, even the Yevid, you're not good. One is a question of clarity of pronunciation, the other is a question of how loud he says it. They're unrelated. If it be unrelated in either direction. They won't. They're unrelated.
Did it make the distinction about the first possible
and the first No. Same thing. In fact, if you would have said that this is Makir B'Yeved, that if you don't pronounce the letters clearly, you're not Yetzir B'Yeved, then it would have only been a din in Kriya Shema. Because in Kriya Shema, the Pasuk says, "Ulamadatem shehei limud chatam." But now that we pass them, that it's only a din l'chatchila, it's not a din B'Yeved, so in Shulchan Aruch they quote that it doesn't only apply to Kriya Shema l'chatchila, it applies to all of Pesukim Zumra. Whenever a person recites a Pasuk, when you say Havdol, you say, "Hinei Kel Yishuasi, Eftach Le'Efchod," and you say, "Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Yamin," whenever you say a Pasuk, whenever you're quoting a pasuk anywhere, we apply this klal lechatzila shi'eni mutchatam, that you have to read the Rebbe ben Abed. Mishas Kriyas HaTorah. When the Balkori reads the Kriyas HaTorah, Kriyas HaMegillah. Whenever you have any Kriyas Tanakh, you have to read it kichsovan. Kichsovan means read the Rebbe ben Abed. To pronounce all the letters clearly. Not to swallow up letters when pronouncing Tanakh, when reading anything from Tanakh. We're more going to elaborate on it, but it's crazy. We more quoted this psak in the name of Rav Tevi Omer Rav Oshia. The Rav Tevi quotes this in the name of Rav Oshia. He is a comment of Rav Oshia. He says in his name, Halacha Kedivei Shneihem Lahokha. But you pass them like Rav Yudah, one issue like Rav Yudah and the other, both of them Lahokha. So now it works. We more quotes another statement that Rav Tevi said in the name of Rav Oshia. Unrelated to the first. But it's just another member that the same Amora said in the name of the same name of the same Rebbe. By the sea, we have a pasuk in Mishlei that reads Shalosh Ein Olos Hizbana. It's a difficult parsha there. There are three things that are never satiated, never satisfied. As much as they get, they want more and more and more. What are the three? So the pasuk says Shol, the cemetery. He's always taking in more people. Cemetery is never satisfied. None of those people are always done. The Otzer Rechem. Otzer Rechem is a difficult pasuk, what it's referring to. So Rashi learns one pshat that it refers to tashmish. That people, as much tashmish as they have, they're never satisfied, they want to have more. They're different pshat among the pasuk. And then a list of a third one, different things. It's a difficult parsha of what it's driving at. The pirush and lulav is difficult, and the kavana. In general, Mishlei is a very difficult sefer. I'm just one pasuk at a time, and if one pasuk is not connected to the next pasuk, you don't understand what pasuk gimel is, the hemshach and pasuk beis, and what pasuk dalah has to a pasuk gimel. Like each pasuk is a separate pisco, unrelated. A very difficult sefer. But this pasuk is also difficult. So the pshutu shel mikra is difficult, but the Gemara is giving a drasha here. Chima inyan sha'ol eitzel rechem. How come the Pasuk writes these two one next to the other? The Shol means the cemetery where the people are buried, and the Tzarech refers to Tashmish, that they're never satisfied with what they have. And the Ramallah, the reason why these two are put one next to the other, this is sort of like a Hekish in Chumash, is one of the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpem. If you have a Pasuk that has two dinim written in the same Pasuk, so we assume there must be some relationship between these two dinim, otherwise the Rabbeinu Shlom wouldn't have taught Moshe Rabbeinu to put the two dinim in the same Pasuk. If you have two dinim and two adjacent psukim, one next to the other, that's called smuchim, that's not a hekish. If you have two dinim and two psukim that are next to each other, that's smuchim. And that's a machlekes hatanaim, to remember Yehuda and the Chachamim, where they darshin smuchim or not. In Chumash Bereishis Shmos, where he called Bamidbar, in Chumash Dvarim, the Gemara says in Yivamos in the first sugi, in the Esedei Halosh, everybody agrees that they darshin smuchim. In Mishnah Torah, everybody agrees they darshin smuchim. If you have one din, if you have one pasuk next to the other, that are talking about two different dinim. So then the Gemara gives two reasons. One, Chumash Dvarim, everybody agrees he darshin smuchim. And the other, four Chumashim, Bereishis, the Ruba Midbar, it's a machlekes hatanaim. But if you have two dinim in the same pasuk, that's better than smuchim, that's called a hekish. Amish a hekish, a hekish, everybody agrees, is counted as one of the midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpem, that the darshan a real din. So here, Rabbi, in the name of Rabbi Yoshia, is making a hekish and a pasuk that's not speaking about a concept of halacha. It's making a hekish and an inyan of hashkofah. Why did the pasuk in Mishlei have these two concepts, one mentioned next to the other? The cemetery where the people are buried, and the rechem and the loy malach, the connection is the following: ma rechem machnis the motzi. Just like when a woman has tashmish, so later on a baby comes out in the same from the same place where the zera went in. Afshol, so to the cemetery, people are buried, they go in, and then there's going to be a tchias hamis when they're going to come out. The same thing when in comes out, so the same thing that goes into the cemetery is going to come out. That's the head. And then he says it's Kal V'chaymer also. The Haloi, Dvarim Kal V'chaymer. What's the Kal V'chaymer? Once you assume the Hekish, that whatever went in is going to come out, then you can make a Kal V'chaymer that it's going to come out in a fancier form. If you don't have the Hekish that's going to come out, then if you don't know that there's such a thing as Tchias HaMeisim, then you don't go to the next step. But once you establish based on this Hekish, just like by the Rechem, the Zera goes in and it comes out as a baby, so the Zera goes in as a tikus rucho, as a nothing, then it comes out as a whole baby, a whole balchai.
Why do you need both?
No, first you have a hekish, that's what it is. First you have a hekish to tell you the institution of Tzeis HaMeisim. If you don't know, if you haven't established Tzeis HaMeisim, then the Kal V'chaymer isn't going to help too much, it's right. But after you've established that there is a Tzeis HaMeisim, that whatever goes in comes out, because that's what you see by the Zera. The Zera goes into the Rechem and it comes out as a baby, and the dead people go into the Kev and they come out. So then you establish a Kal V'chaymer. Madach, the Zera goes in. And what's the Zera? Is a Tipa Srucha. There's no Hashivas to the Zera right now. It comes out as a live baby. So if you put in a dead person is living for a long time. And people are crying when the person dies. Why are they crying? Because he's a tzaddik. If he was a good for nothing, so they're not going to cry. He was a good father, he was a good grandfather, he was a good husband, whatever. He was a tzaddik, a Reish Maimon, a doctor of mitzvah, whatever. So when you bury a person and there's something kosher going in, so we say our Kal V'chaymer that when it's going to come out, it's going to come out in a more fancy fashion than when it went in. Just like the Zera goes in as a tipa sruch and it comes out as a baby, which is much more kosher than the Zera that's going in. So to over here, if you bury the person, the kolei kolos, and people are screaming their heads off at a funeral. Why do they cry at a funeral? Because there's something kosher being buried now. The person attained a certain hashivas before he died, so when he's going to come back to life, he will not just be in the same state that he was at the time that he died. A sick old man, he'll come back to life, he'll be a sick old man. No, he'll be a healthy person. He'll be a vigorous person. That's the Gemara's Kal V'chaymer. Once they establish that there is Tzeis HaMeisim, then the Kal V'chaymer establishes that after the Tzeis HaMeisim, the person who was buried will come back to life in a stronger form than he was at the time that he went into the cave. V'haladvarim Kal V'chaymer. Umar Rechem. When the baby is born, Shemach Nisim Bo'bachashoi, the Zera goes in quietly. It means nobody makes a big sinus about the Zera. It's a tikkus rucho, it's nothing there. Matzim Imenu B'Kodesh Kodesh. When the baby is born, the Mepharshim say, it doesn't mean the baby is born, so it's screaming. The baby is crying when it's born. It doesn't mean so much. It means when the baby is born, people are excited. The people are happy. Not that the baby is crying. People are happy from joy. It didn't come out just as a tikkus rucho. It came out as a baby. The baby comes out B'Kodesh Kodesh. So the Sha'ol, when you bury a person in the cemetery, shemachnisim bo b'kolei kolos, and you bury the person, people are crying their heads off. Why? Because there's a dover chashuv going in. So when you're going to come out, it's certainly going to be a dover chashuv. With greater enadin, it's a kavachaymer. Shemotzi mimena b'kolei kolos. What does it mean it's a kavachaymer? It doesn't really mean a kavachaymer. It means a parallel. It's the same parallel. It means the same way the tipos rucho goes in and comes out as a baby, means but comes out. It's more important than one goes in. It's been touched up and then it comes out in a fancier form. So to after tchis hameisim, the body will be in a fancier form than it was when it was buried. Shol shemachnis ba b'kol and kolos, because it's davar chashuv that's being buried. Ein odin, certainly more so shemotzinu mena b'kol and kolos. After the tchis hameisim, the body will come back to life and be in a very healthy state. And we can, from this pasuk in Mishlei Tshuva, we have an answer. A refutation to those who claim Roim remain tchias hameisim in atur. Mishnah says in Chelek, in the last parak in Sanhedrin, that's what we have in the Gemara. It's the last parak in the Mishnah. There are 11 prokim in Sanhedrin. So in the Gemara, it's printed as the last parak, the 11th parak. In the Mishnah, it's printed as the 10th parak. Does not one of the latter prokim in Sanhedrin is called Chelek. So the parak begins Kol Yisrael Yesh and Chelek Ben Abba. All the Jewish people get a Chelek Ben Abba. With the following few exceptions, it has such a long list of exceptions that you wonder who's going to be left there in the Olam Haba. So the Mishnah says that one of the people who doesn't get, a whole class of people who don't get the Olam Haba, is those who say Ein Tchias HaMeisim in Atur. They don't believe in Tchias HaMeisim, so they're not going to get Tchias HaMeisim. Olam Haba there means two things. Olam Haba means the Olam HaNeshamis after the person dies and the body stays in the ground and it rots away and the Neshama goes to the Olam HaNeshamis. But in one sense, that's referred to as Olam Haba. Then there's another Olam Haba that's also alluded to by the Mishnah, the life on this earth after Tchias HaMeisim. The Gemara uses the phrases, the Gemara uses the term Olam Haba sometimes in this sense, sometimes in that sense. So the Mishnah there says, the one who denies Tchias HaMeisim, or one even who believes in Tchias HaMeisim, that's how Rashi points out, one who believes in Tchias HaMeisim, but says that it's only a tradition, that Tchias HaMeisim, it's an oral tradition, but it's not to be found in Tanakh. He believes that Tchias HaMeisim heard from his father, heard from his grandfather, heard from his grandfather, all the way back to some great tzaddik who heard it b'nevuah from the Rebbe Shem, that it's going to be Tchias HaMeisim, but he doesn't think that it's found in Tanakh. He doesn't believe that it has a source in Tanakh. So the Mishnah says such a person will also not have Tchias HaMeisim. Whoever doesn't believe in Tchias HaMeisim will not be zeichet to Tchias HaMeisim. Whoever believes in it but doesn't believe that his emunah is found in Chumash, that's not called belief. Emunah means that you believe that it's written in the Chumash. I believe in the Rebbe Shalom, I believe in Torah Menashemayim, I believe that in Schar V'Yonid, but I don't think that it's found in Tanakh. If you just believe Baal Peh, and you don't think that it's found in Tanakh, that's not called belief. Emunah means, that's how Rashi says in the first Mishnah in Chelek, and the end of Sanhedrin. Emunah means that I believe in the Yud Gimel. The Rambam points out, what are the Ikori HaEmunah? So this is the Rambam claims there are 13 Ikori HaEmunah. They once asked for some sefer. How many Ikori HaEmunah are there? Because Mendelssohn at that time, Moshe Mendelssohn was the leader of what was called then the Reform Movement. So he published a book. Said, you don't have to know Ikori HaEmunah. What are Emunah? You just like Tefillin, you daven, you say Krishna, you say Nisuk, you do all the mitzvahs. What do you mean Emunah? What do you have to have Emunah? So the Rebbe Hashem gave his mitzvahs, just do the mitzvahs. So he asked the Chacham Sofer, what does he say? What does he have to say? He used to be the big fighter against Mendelssohn. So he said, here, Avada Devari Kori HaEmunah. So they asked him, how many Yesodis HaEmunah are there? So he said, there are 613 Yesodis HaEmunah. Every one of the mitzvahs is a Yesodis HaEmunah. Now, Bada, he's right. So, what does the Rambam mean that there are 13 Yisrael Amunah? What is it all about? What do you mean there are 13 Yisrael Amunah and there are 613 mitzvahs? What do you mean mitzvahs? What do you mean Amunah? Very unclear. So, what do you mean Ikor? Why are these Yud Gimel Ikor Amunah? What does it mean? So, they quote in the name of Rab Chaim in the Yeshiva, they say, Rabbi Chana Basman quotes in the name of Rab Chaim, what is the Biur Hadover? So, he says, let's say, the Marshal, there is a din. Let's pick an obscure mitzvah. There is a din that a lot of people are ignorant of. When you buy pots and pans from a grocery store, or you buy forks and knives, you have to be tovel in the mitzvah. So that's a din that's learned out from a pasuk in Chumash, and many Rishonim say it's a mitzvah min haTorah. Some say it's only a smach, it's a mitzvah min haRabbanan, and the Shulchan Aruch we assume that it's a real mitzvah min haTorah. So let's say you have a person who never heard of that mitzvah, and he doesn't observe the mitzvah, because he never heard of the mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim. So you call him an apikeret, you call him an amoritz. Amoritz means the person is ignorant. Let's say there's a mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan. Someone's walking down the street, and he probably can't see Balachanach about Derech, and he sees a nest with a bird sitting on top of the eggs. So there's a mitzvah, Shalach the Shalach HaSeng, you have to send away the mother if you want to take the eggs. What happens if a person never heard of the mitzvah Shalach HaKach? Never heard of that. Heard of Shabbos, Kash, 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 never heard of Shalach HaKach. So the most he can call a person is an Amhoritz, so he never heard. So he's an Amhoritz. But if a person never heard of Skav Yenish, if that person observes all the mitzvahs, he never heard of B'yas HaMashiach. He just knows what it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about Mashiach. So he knows all the dinim. He never heard of Schav Yonash. He doesn't know whether it's going to... He never heard of B'yas HaMashiach. He doesn't know. Never heard of that thing. He observes all the Tariyat Mitzvahs. Never heard of that. He didn't know that Terem Min HaShemayim. He just knows his father likes Tfilin. Didn't know that it's Min HaShemayim. He thought that the Rabbanim made up the whole thing. He thought that it's nice things that the Chachamim, the Jewish Chachamim, throughout the generations invented these things. He doesn't know that there's such a thing as Torah Mashmai. Not that he heard of it and he doesn't believe in it, but he's a lahakas thing, that he's an apikuris. No, he just never heard of these things. So Rav Chaim said, that's called an apikuris. That's what the Rambam has to tell you. That's what the Rishonim, the Rambam, the other Rishonim have to establish. What are the Ikarim of Amunah? What are Ikarim in Amunah? And what are not? Whatever is an ikaram in Amunah, if a person doesn't believe in that for whatever reason, either because he doesn't choose to believe in it or because he's ignorant of it. He never heard of that point. Never heard of Torah Min HaShemayim. Never heard of Schar Yonash. He never heard of B'yas HaMashiach. He never heard of B'yas HaMashiach. So if he never heard of these things, he's ignorant of these, he's not only an Am HaAretz, we consider him an Apikurus. An Apikurus means one who doesn't have a full Kedusha Sisrael. We say din apikuris din ka'akum.
Same din of a person who's a mumma la'akum, who's definitely against it and has one.
Even b'shaydin.
Another doesn't really know about it.
Right. Right. That's where the Rav Chaim pointed out the Rambam holds like that. The Rambam, right, the one who believes that God has a body is an apikuris. That's one of the yisodos emunah. We believe that God doesn't have any body. So the Rav writes, how can you call such a person an apikuris? The Rav writes a hasag on the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva. There were gedolim and tzaddikim mimena. There were people who were greater in learning and more pious than the Rambam, who believed that God did have a body. Why? Based on the psukim, that it sounds like that, and based on the agadas hamashavshes es hadah, based on the agadas that mislead you. The Gemara says the Rabban Shalom put some film. The Gemara says the Rabban Shalom kicked someone with his foot. And he slapped him with his hand. Yeah? So there are so many agadas, so many midrashim that describe the Rabban Shalom as doing things with different parts of his body. So it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a body. So the Ravid also agrees with the Rambam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any body. He refers to these agados as agados hamshapshes as hadas, midrashim that cause people's minds to make a mistake. A shibush means an error. So he says these midrashim hamshapshes as hadas. They mix people up. They confuse them. But nonetheless, the Ravid writes, how can the Rambam write that those people are apikursim because they believe that God has a body? The people were greater in learning and more pious, more greater tzaddikim than the Rambam, and they believed that God had a body because that's what they thought based on the psukim and the agaritas, based on the Gemara. So how can you say that they're apikurs? So they say that Rav Chaim made a comment on that Rambam, that the Rambam Shita is taka nebacharachman, is on the person, that he thinks that God has a body based on the psukim and based on the agarita, but a nebachapikur is a zeichan apikur, even if it's not his fault. An Erech Apikuris, even if he's an Apikuris, B'shege, is also an Apikuris. An Apikuris means one who doesn't believe in the Yud Gimel Ikori, one who doesn't believe in the Ikori HaMuna, whatever the Ikori HaMuna are. The Gemara never says which are Ikori HaMuna. One who doesn't believe in the Ikori HaMuna is considered an Apikuris who doesn't have a full Kedusha Sihana. Why he doesn't believe in the Ikori HaMuna? Either because he doesn't want to believe in it, or because he was never educated, he never heard of it, or because he was misled by the psukim and misled by the agaritas. It doesn't matter for what reason he doesn't believe, but if he doesn't believe in it, that's called an apikuris. We usually refer to an apikuris as somebody else. The Gemara says, what's an apikuris? Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, an apikuris doesn't have a chayelik olam abo. So the Gemara says, what's an apikuris? So the Gemara doesn't say what the Rambam says. The Rambam says an apikuris is one who doesn't believe in the 13 principles of our faith. The Gemara says, what's an apikuris? One who is mevaza talmud chacham, and one who is mevaza chaveiro b'fnei talmud chacham, in the presence of the talmud chacham. So there's a tshuva in the Maharil, where he has a shayla, the sheikhet, the local sheikhet in town, once had a fight with the rabbi, and he insulted the rabbi in public. So now the shayla was, can you eat the meat? Can you eat his meat? Because the Gemara says, I'm mevaza talmud chacham is an apikuris. Apikuris is shech, apikuris is dina kenochri. Apikuris is shech to behemoth, so the behemoth, the chickens are no good, it's nevela. So the Shalit, you're not allowed to eat from his shchita. So the Maharil says, no, that this is a mistake. That there are two different kinds of apikoros. There's one apikoros, two dinim of apikoros. One is an apikoros who doesn't believe in one of the Yud Gimel Ikori who Emunah, as the Rambam claims there are 13. Others disagree, they say more, they say less. Whatever it is, other Rishonim discuss. How did the Rambam know? Who gave the Rambam the key that there were 13? Maybe there were 3. The Yosef Alper says there were only 3. That God exists, the Torah and Hashemayim, and the Sfarviyah. That's all 3. He doesn't know about Chiyas HaMeisim. No, no. Means he doesn't know all the points of Sfarviyah. He doesn't know about the Beis HaMashiach. So it's like he doesn't know that the sun is shining. He doesn't know how far the moon is in the sun. So he doesn't know all the facts of history. So he doesn't know Mashiach is going to come. He doesn't know that Chiyas HaMeisim is going to take place. That's Hashem and Apiperit. That's Rabbi Yosef Alper, who is one of the Rishon, writes in the Sefer Ikorim, he thinks there are only 3 Kori Hu Emunah. Only the existence of God, the Torah and Hashemayim, and Schar V'Yonish. And others claim that there are more than 3, but less than 13. The Rambam claims that there are 13. That's already a question in detail. But in principle, everybody agrees that there is such an institution of Apikoros. What it means is that one who is unaware of the Kori Hu Emunah, one who doesn't believe in the Kori Hu Emunah, whatever the Kori Hu Emunah are, has an incomplete Kedushas Yisroel. Dinik Shenishma is still Dinakakum. If he doesn't know the Yisroel Yisroel, he's an Apikoros. There's another, you see, there are 2 Dinim in Apikoros. One Din Apikoros is that he has an incomplete Kedushas Yisroel. So that the Rambam holds applies even to an Apikoros B'Shogeg. Then there's another Din, that Apikoros is a mitzvah to write of him, and to try to kill him, and to get rid of him, and so on. But those dinim don't apply if he's b'shogeg. What are you writing for him? He doesn't know. You can't punish the person. He won't be held responsible by the mabo either. They're not going to punish him to be done again if he didn't know. He didn't know. But let's say a goy. A goy is still a akum. What is it his fault? His mother was a goy and his father was a goy. It's not his fault. Even though it wasn't his fault, he was born a goy, so he's still a goy. So the apikoros doesn't believe, for whatever reason he doesn't believe. He was never educated, never heard of the points of emunah of the Jewish faith. So even if it's b'shogeg, he doesn't know, but still, it's like a goy, who was born a goy. It's not his fault, but a goy is a goy. So an apikoros who doesn't know the yisrael and emunah because of ignorance, is also dina ka'akum, he has an incomplete kedushas yisrael. So the Maharil, in the Tshuvas Maharil, claims that these are 2 different concepts of apikoros. One is apikoros, dina ka'akum, ishri kosu nevele. That's only one who doesn't believe, for whatever reason he doesn't believe in it. He doesn't believe in one of the Ikori Ramun, one or more of the Ikori Ramun. So then we say apikoros, dina ka'akum. Yeah, but what the Gemara says, apikoros, who is an apikoros, one is mevazer, tamachacham, that's a different thing, he says. The Gemara uses that term as a losh of bushel. Shegis, that's what it means. Mishnah says an apikoros is going to be punished. He's going to be punished for his avere. So the Gemara says one who's mevazah tamachacham is committing such a great avere that he's going to burn in Gehenna in the same room where the apikorsim burn. But it doesn't mean that his dina kakum is really an apikoros. We use it as a Yiddishism, as a Yiddish term, apikoros. Like we use it today, usually when we call a person apikoros, we don't mean technically an apikoros. We mean he's a shegis. We mean that he's a chotzuf, a bagaiva, whatever. We don't really mean an apikoros in a technical term. Technical term apikoros means one who doesn't believe, for whatever reason, whether b'shogeg or b'mezid, he doesn't believe one of these sages and one. So Rashi says there on that Mishnah in Chelek, one who doesn't believe in the Yisodis HaEmunah is an apikoros. And even if he does believe in the Yisodis HaEmunah, but he doesn't believe in it because it's written, he doesn't think that it's written in Tanakh. He thinks that it's only an oral tradition that the Nevi'im passed down from generation to generation. It's not found in Tanakh. That's not called Emunah. Emunah means we believe in Bias HaMashiach, and we believe that it's found in Tanakh. The Rambam writes like that. That one who believes that Mashiach is going to come but doesn't believe that it's written in Tanakh is also called an apikoros. The same as Rashi writes. The Mishnah says, one who believes that there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim, but he thinks that it's just an oral tradition and he doesn't believe that it's found in Tanakh anywhere. And such a person is also called an Eino Ma'im. And Munah means that, in our definition, according to the Mishnah, he believes in these 13 Ikori HaMunah, the 3 or the 10, whatever they are. However many Ikori HaMunah you hold there should be, the Rambam says there are 13. Another say there are more or less. You believe in these, you say this in Munah, and you feel like they're written in Tanakh. So here the Gemara says, Mikan, from this pasuk in Mishlei, we see a tshuva, a refutation to those who say that the ain't Tchiyas HaMeisim in HaTorah. There are people who believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, but they don't believe that it's found in Tanakh anywhere. So that's also called a lack of emunah. If you believe in one of the Yisrael's emunah, but you hold that it's not written in Tanakh, so then Rashi and the Rambam say that's not called emunah. So the Braisa says over here, here is one of the various, there are several psukim. Here is one of the many psukim which indicates that there will be a Tchias HaMeis. The fact that the Pasuk in Mishlei puts these two, one next to the other, is a Hekish, and Yidarshan Hekish, Hekish is for the Midrash, Shatarim addresses them, not only in Halacha, in Agoda as well. That's how the Gemara says it. If you have the cemetery mentioned next to the Rechem, the teaching is just like the Tipas Ruha goes in and it comes out in a fancy form, as a baby, as a live child. So the masons that go in and before the person died, he was already in a Hoshiva form, he was a grown person, intelligent and observant and so on, he will certainly come out in a better form than when he went in to the Kevah.
A person would not know it's a
People say that's in Yiddish. They used to say that in order to be an apikoros, you have to first be a great talmid chacham, and then reject that. That's the kind of apikoros that it's a mitzvah to raid of him. That's a different kind of apikoros. That it's a mitzvah to try to take nekama from him, and so on, depending on the condition. But the technical term of apikoros, that one who is an apikoros doesn't believe in Yisodis Amuna, has an incomplete kedushas yisroel. And when he gets to some mitzvahs, we say that he's dina ka'akum. That applies even if he's b'shoyg, even if he's a complete ignoramus, and he never heard of anything, a tinik shenishbo. Still an apikar is the Rambam holds, and he's still dina ka'akum.
The two are more than him, actually. The one thing, the ikar of his amazing. Even if he wouldn't be better, if he would just be the same person who died, would get his amazing, would be the same person, that's one way with his amazing. Then the Kabbal Chaimer adds that other dimension that it's
in a better condition. Right, just like the Tipus Rufa comes out in a better state, so the Mason will come out in a better state. And that's how the Mefarshim explain on this Gemara, that when the Gemara talks because they call us, it doesn't mean whether the baby's crying or not. It means whether the people are happy about something that's in a better condition. That's the Pshat. The Gemara has there in Sanhedrin and Daf Tzadik Beis, on the side of the Gemara, the Masar HaDashah tells you to go in Sanhedrin and Daf Tzadik Beis. The Gemara has a series of psukim, various psukim which indicate that there will be Tchias HaMeis. What are the several psukim? Is Oz Yoshev Moshe Bnei Yisrael. Why does it say Loshem Asid? Oz Yoshev? Let it say Oz Shor. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu will yet sing this again. Another time in the future. When in the future? He's dead already. So whenever we read Chumash, we read Oz Yoshev Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is still going to sing the Shiras HaYam. When? After Tchias HaMeis, he'll be singing again. That's about one man down on the Gemara. The others say no, that doesn't prove anything. That doesn't prove that Rashi HaChumash says.
They already showed that that no
positive,
very good. In fact, there's so much discussion.
Yeah.
Believe it, it's in the Torah too. If you have to tell someone, they protest this too much. If you keep on saying it's in the, believe me, it's in the Torah. Yeah. Is the best person ever, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. No problem. That's the problem. Nothing more has another positive. The positive says.
In fact, the Rambam says the Karah, the problem, the big problem in Rambam's day was the
Karah. Yeah, they didn't believe in a lot of it. No, they didn't believe in the Rambam. They said it's
in the Torah. They said it was not in the Torah. That's what he was.
No, the Rambam was just saying over the Mishnah. Rashi also said that. Rashi didn't have any...
Rashi
just says on that Mishnah in Sanhedrin, in Chelah. So Rashi says, even if he believes that there will be Tchias HaMeis, but he doesn't think that it's found in Tanakh. He thinks that it's just an oral tradition. So it's also called an Eino Mamin, and he also won't have a Chelah Vela Mabos. He won't have Tchias HaMeis.
The
Gemara has several psukim. One of the other psukim is, it says in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, by Hafroshas Chalo, it says when we come to Eretz Yisrael, Mafresh Chalo, when the Satam Emenu Liyaharon Ulevono, you should give the Chalo to Aaron and to his children, they should eat the Chalo. The Gemara says, Aaron died in the Midbar, and the Mitzvah of Chalo began only after Yeshua Ben Nun crossed over the Yarden. How can the Chumash say you should give the Chalo to Aaron and Ulevono? And the sons of Aaron also died. Some of also died. What do you mean? Aaron of so the Gemara says that it means lasi lovay. After Tchias HaMeisim, Aaron will be eating truma again. He'll be eating challah. But in the Farshim have a whole, there's a whole literature on that to Russia. What do you mean Aaron will be eating challah? The Mason who come back to life, observe mitzvahs or not? After Tchias HaMeisim, do they observe mitzvahs or not? So the Gemara has a machlokes, where the mitzvahs betelus lasi lovay. The mitzvahs are going to remain. Whatever is a mitzvah today is going to remain a mitzvah then also. That's why it's called a mitzvah. Rashi says on Parashas Tzav, the first Rashi on Chumash Vayikra, Parashas Tzav says, Ein Lashem Tzav, Lashem Ziris Miyad Oladoros. That it's only called a mitzvah if it applies to Yom Kippur. If it doesn't apply to Yom Kippur, then it's only a Hayrua Shoh. It's a Dvar Nevuah, it's not called a mitzvah. So the fact that it's called a mitzvah implies that it will apply, that it will continue lasid lavam. But the question is, what about the people who died and who come back to life from the dead? We have a pasuk that says, Mason Chavshim. We have a pasuk that says that if a person dies, Nasa Chavshim in a mitzvah, he becomes part of a mitzvah. So the Gemara has a debate in Sanhedrin. And at the end of Nida,
there's the adat about one of the Tanayim who said he was from the Nehem Brian, who didn't have to be Pesach because they were Yotzi, who was in the time, but they had some estivations that might be less than what
Montana says he was from the descendants, yeah.
So he
doesn't have to bring a Kodesh.
He came from Pesach, because they went out before.
Yeah.
Because the Shevet Abraham went out before, so he came from Pesach.
Why not? Why isn't he have from Pesach?
But that would be a different reason.
Because he wasn't
lying to
everybody else.
I thought he was saying that he was from the Pesach, he had to absorb or something like that.
Yeah, I think Mara says he shows the tefillin. He said, these are the tefillin that I got from my great-grandfather. Yeah, it's a different thing. I don't remember about Kodesh Pesach. So the Gemara has a machlokas about this. When the pasuk says Nesim Chavshim, the Kiddush Neisar and Nasa Chavshim in Amitzvah, says Zana and Kozman that he's a Mace, or even after Tchias Amesim, he'll still be part of the Kol Amitzvah. A Mace after Tchias Amesim, maybe he's still part of the Kol Amitzvah. So it happens to Rabbi Yechanan, and the end of the Gemara Nida is the one who says that a Mace even after Tchias Amesim is still part of the Kol Amitzvah. And here Rabbi Yechanan is the one who says in Sanhedrin and Daf Tzadik Beis, and this Gemara, that the pasuk says in the Satim Menali Aharon Olavonav that Aharon will eat the Truma after Tchias HaMesim. How can Aharon eat the Truma after Tchias HaMesim if Rabbi Yechon claims that Mesim are part of the Kol HaMesim? That's the kasha that
I mean.
That's the shadow that's it. A behemoth coin eats Truma. A coin has a behemoth. Behemoth also eats Truma. That's a mitzvah. No, it's a heter. You're permitted to feed Truma to a behemoth coin. So maybe the Kohanim after Tchias HaMesim will not be fulfilling a mitzvah, but they'll still be allowed to eat truma. There's no avera if they eat the truma. That's the shadow. What's the kasha? The Rosh Hashanah is bothered with this kasha. Another Rosh Hashanah is bothered with the kasha. The contradiction on Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon himself holds in the end of the Gemara Nida, the Mesim will not fulfill mitzvahs even though they love it. How can he himself say that Aaron will be eating truma after Tchias HaMesim? So you're saying, what's the kasha? He can eat truma like behemoth coin eats truma. Apparently these Rosh Hashanah the kasha hold, that a human being, a Yisrael, is not permitted to eat truma unless he's mekayim a mitzvah thereby. Because if you eat truma without fulfilling a mitzvah, you're violating an avera of mishmeres trumosa. You're wasting the truma. Torah has a special heter, you're permitted to feed the truma to the behemoth kohen. That's a heter, even though you're not fulfilling any mitzvah by feeding the truma to the behemoth. You don't have any kima mitzvah by feeding food to animals. But if a person eats the truma, whether the kohen or the yeshus kohen, let's say a kohen is married to a woman who's not a kohenis, the din still allows her to eat truma as well. So Taisha says in Gittin, in the first paragraph, that that's also a mitzvah. That's not a heter. It's not that Eishes Koyin is permitted to eat truma as a heter. That's also a mitzvah. Because if it weren't a mitzvah, then she wouldn't be allowed to eat the truma. It would be in a violation of Mishmeres Trumaisa. She would be wasting the truma. You're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to do anything to truma in such a way that you make it impossible to fulfill a mitzvah of eating the truma. So if Rabbi Yechanan says that the Kohanim lost, the Aaron HaKohen will be eating truma lasid lavai, it must be that it's a mitzvah. He will be fulfilling a mitzvah.
I think maybe he'd be tamer. Say it was tamer.
He will be mitayer himself.
He
will be tamer.
Then he has to.
Eved Kohen, yeah, it's also allowed. Eved Kohen. That's a discussion in Rishonim and Achronim. Right, with Eved Kohen, he eats truma. Is that a kima mitzvah? Is that like a behemoth? And Menachem Zender claims that that's machlokes is the Rambam and Tesis. So the Tesis sheet is that whenever a person eats truma, it must be that it's a mitzvah. Otherwise, it wouldn't be allowed to eat the truma. It would be a violation of the Shmeres Trumais. Anyway, the Gemara has various psukim there. How do you know that Tchias HaMesim is Menachem? In Europe, they used to say that the Biur was written by an apothecary. They say the Biur was some Sefer Lankumish. Rabbi Naftali Hirtz Wiesel. He was a Talmud of Moshe Mendelssohn. He wrote a Biur HaChumash, very fascinating commentary. He wrote a very wonderful Biur HaChumash that's called Biur Mesum Sechel. He wrote a Sefer on Pirkei Yovis that all the Rabbanim in Europe used to use for drushes. It's called Yein Levonim. It has a Haskama from one of the famous Gedolim, I forgot who. Very, very rich one. One of the famous Gedolim gave a Haskama to his Sefer and he writes, he gives Haskama on the condition that there's no Apikursis in it. It's the Yein Levonim. The beer of the Sum Sechel has no Haskama, but it's a famous beer, so if they put it in the Cheram, whatever, if they used to find it that there's Apikurs. What Apikurs is? You look through the beer, there's no Apikurs. So one of the Rabban in Europe said the apikorsis consists of the following, that every time the Gemara says that this pasuk is a remnant with Kriyas HaMeisim, so he always gives the other pshat on that pasuk. And also the Yashar Moshe gives the other pshat. And when the Satman Ali Aaron Albano gives the other pshat, and every pasuk he gives the other pshat, so he avoids it. He doesn't really say anything outwardly wrong, but he avoids every time in Chumash that there's a remnant with Kriyas HaMeisim, he throws out every remnant. That's the kind of that they have. The Gemara says that the marker for this din in the Mishnah, that you have to be medactic by Yisrael when you recite Kriya Shema, when you daven Psukti de Zimra, when you say Kriya Satara, when you read the Megillah, whenever you read Tanakh, you make Haftarah, whenever you read any part of Tanakh, you have to read it L'chatchila, U'lamaratem, Shehele Mutchotam, you should pronounce all the words, B'dikta by Yisrael. So so just like the Gemara Darshans and U'lamaratem, Shehele Mutchotam, the Gemara now has such a similar drasha. Hanuch Savtam. Tani Rav Oshia Kameh, the Rav Oshia recited a brisa in the presence of Rav Uch Savtam, that when you write the mezuzah you have to have Ksiva Tama. What do you mean Ksiva Tama? So the Gemara Menacha says Ksiva Tama means that the letters should not be touching each other. Not like we write script in English, all letters are connected. Every letter in the Sefer Torah, the Tefillin and mezuzah should be Mukav Gvil, should be surrounded with empty space, that there should be a Ksiva Tama, a fancy perfect sound. This Gemara, this brisa Darshan's Ksiva Tama, Hakol b'ksav, a complete ksiva, not a ksiva tama, perfect, beautiful letter, it's a ksiva tama, a full text. The text should not be missing anything. Why it couldn't be missing anything? What does that mean? It means afilu tzavos. You even have to write into the mezuzah the pasuk that says you have to write a mezuzah. One would have thought that it says Shema Yisrael Shem HaKadosh Shem HaKadosh till the end, and then it's end quotation. Then it says you should write all the above on your mezuzah, but you don't have to write that pasuk. That's the instructions. That's in fine print. You should write that whole parsha. What do you have to write that pasuk for? So the pasuk was no. You have to have everything from the beginning to the end, the whole parsha. You don't have to write the whole sefer Torah. Means the whole parsha should appear in the mezuzah, including the tzavot. This is the brisa that Rav Oshia recited in the presence of Rav. Amalei, so Rav comments to Rav Oshia, Domalachmani, who is the Tana who composed that brisa? Who's the one who must be the Bala Haroche? Must be Rav Yudi. Rav Yudi has a machlekes with the Chachamim by Parsha Soto. The Chumash says that if a man is choshed his wife biznus, that she's being having an affair with somebody else, so he should take it to the Beis HaMikdash, and he should have the Kohen give a muster and so on. So if she admits she was Mezana, so we get the work. If she doesn't admit, she insists that she's Torah, and the husband thinks that she was Mezana. So there are details when this applies, and when it does apply, so then the Chumash says the Kohen makes her swear that she was Tahira, that she was not Mezana, and then he writes down everything that she swore about Pei. He writes it down on a piece of parchment, and then they erase it in a cup of water. And she has to take a sip, she has to drink some of that water. There's no poison in the cup. It's a little dirty, because then she has to put mikarka mishka, has to put a little dirt into the, has to put a little, take a little earth from the floor, mix it in also. It's not going to taste so good, and it's going to have a little ink in it, but it's not poisonous thing. So b'der ha'tel, it should just taste awful, but it should, like medicine, but she shouldn't die from it. So then the Chumash promises that l'yor l'mvod and es will occur. But if it's really true that the woman was Mezana, she will die, and the boy will also die. He didn't even drink the stuff. The man with whom she had the affair will also die, the same Yisra Mishuna that she died. The stomach gets blown up, it's off Stambitna, Menafra Yerecha, a special Yisra Mishuna. Torah promises an S. And then the Torah says that if an S occurs, then it's an indication that she had been Mezana with that fellow, because they both died. If an S doesn't occur, nobody dies, she doesn't even get sick. If she starts to get sick over there in that part of the body, then you know that she was Mezaneh, but she had schusim, she did Milas Hasadim, she did mitzvah, Mazel Tov, whatever. So in the schus of her mitzvah, she will not die immediately. But she started to get sick. But if she doesn't even begin to get sick, it depends on whether he has schusim. It depends on whether, each one depends whether they have a schusim. If nothing happens, if the boil and the choshev, nothing happens at all, then the nest, then we assume, since the nest didn't happen, we assume that she's tahira, that she was not mizana, and then the husband is permitted to continue living with his wife. Then it's mukh. So the shaila is exactly what you have to write into the Megillah Sota. That's called the Megillah Sota. The parsha that the Kohen writes, that you erase into the Maim HaMorim, that the Sota has to drink. So the machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda against the Chachamim. The Chachamim say you have to write the whole parasha from the beginning to the end. Even that part of the parasha, where is in parasha's Noso? Even that part of the parasha that says Vehishbi Hakoines or Isha, it says, and the Kohen should make the woman swear. So the Chachamim say you have to write that also. Rabbi Yudah disagrees. He says no. The Kohen Hakoines are all the Soela by Sefer. The Kohen only has to write on the Sefer, on the parchment. Sefer means parchment, doesn't mean a book over there. He only has to write on the Kalaf. It's all the same. He only has to write the oath. The Shavua, although sometimes means a klal, a curse in here, it means an oath. He has to write the Shavua that the Soita had said, that she swore that she was not Mizana, and she accepted upon herself a curse that if she was Mizana, that she should die with this Misa Mishuna. So Rabbi Yudah has machlekes with the Rabbanan, that you have to write the introductory parts of those psukim, the Hishbi HaKoinus HaYisha, the Yomar HaYisha, Amen Amen, you just write what she said, the Shavu itself. So Rabbi comments to Rabbi Yoshia, to Rabbi Oshia, who's reciting the Brisa to him, that in the mezuzah you even have to write the pasuk of Tzavon Zuzah Sharaba. You have to write the Tzavoyes, but that must be, this Brisa is only Achidish Alibi the Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Yudah, Yomar Gabi Sota, his opinion is by the Parsha Sota, Olos Kosei, Tzavoyes Enokos. You only write the Olo, you only write the Loshen of the Shavua itself, but you don't have to write the instructions that it says, Vizishbi Akainas Oisho, Vyomra Hoisho, Vyomah Akoin, Mocha Kofen. You don't have to write what, who's going to do what. You just write the Nusach of the Shavua that she said. So that's over there. Does Rabbi Yudah say you leave out the Tzavos? V'chosma hu tichsiv v'kosa. It says that leave a kosa, but it doesn't say chsav tom, chsiv v'tam. It just says v'kosa, chsiv v'tam, not chsiv v'tam. It says v'kosa, so it just means you write the Shavua. V'kosa v'solos, you write v'kosa v'solos ha'ela ba'seifa. The Kohen should write only the Shavua. That only says v'kosa, but here by mezuzah where it says avroch tichsiv chsav tom, which has the connotation of Siva Tamo, you should write a complete text, including the Tzavos. Afilo Tzavos Nami. That's what Robert comments to Rabbi Oishia. What does he tell him? What are you bothering me with the Brisa? That Brisa should like Kalach. I don't need that Brisa. That Brisa is Alibi, the Rabbi Yudah, who says by Soto that you don't write Tzavos. Here he needs a drosha to tell me that you do write Tzavos. But we don't pass like Rabbi Yudah by Soto. So why do I need a... What are you telling me at Brisa? That I don't need that. Even by the Sota you have to write the Tzavos. V'hishbi akonis v'yishav. So by the mezuzah, of course you have to write v'chsav tamah mezuzah b'sech v'sharev. I don't need a drosha to tell me that you have to write. So the Gemara says... but it's even shkere come to a beauty. If Rabbi is right, that we, l'halacha, don't need that pasuk, so it's even shkere come to a beauty. Greg the Gemara, is the reason for a beauty that by Soto it says v'kos tavis ha'olos, doesn't say v'kos uchsav tom, sivatama, because it says v'kos tavis rather than sivatama. Break the Gemara, oh, to time with the Rabbi Yudah, we shouldn't receive v'kos tavis. Is the reason for Rabbi Yudah by Megillah Soto that you don't have to write the tzivur, you only have to write the olo itself, the Rosh Hashanah, because it just says the word v'kos tavis, and it doesn't imply sivatama. That's not the reason. Time of the Rabbi Yudah, the real reason why Rabbi Yudah says you leave out the Tzavor is by the parashah Sotim Shulim Chsid Olois. It says because of the Olos Eila, Olos En, Tzavor is Loi. Olos yes, but the Tzavor is no. You only have to write the Olos, the Nusach of the Shavua itself.
Even would have said Tzavtom.
We would have written up Tzavtom. Yeah. I guess we would have said Tzivatama that you should, the letters shouldn't be touching each other.
Can't you learn this from the Tzavtom?
What is it? Yeah, it says by get because of the creases. So what does that mean? That there's no requirement for ksiva tama by get. Okay, that's talking the ikar adin. If the letters are touching, it's kosher. Tosis has two opinions. What if, what's halacha if you wrote a get and the letters are touching? So if we are machmer halacha l'maisa, we wouldn't allow such a get where the letters of the get are touching. But the ikar adin, the halacha really is that it's kosher, because by the get it doesn't say achsav tama, it just says because of. Because of the l'maisa creases. There's no halacha that you need ksiva tama. But yet we're machmir for everything. Chumah day, shesish, it's an issur
karmis.
This
pasuk here is
Rechikas
Hashem.
There is an issur, yeah.
There is an
issur. And the Torah was matur in order to bring shalom ben ish v'yishto. There is an issur Rechikas Hashem. The Torah says we're allowing it in order to make shalom bais. Yeah. This is the heter. The Chumah says you write it and you erase it. That's the special mitzvah. That's the only way to do the Seder HaSoi. So the Gemara Tain is now against Rove. But the Brice is not only Shaloi Ka'alocha, that the Chachamim don't need a pasuk by mezuzah to teach me that they write Rabbi Yudah shouldn't leave the pasuk. The only reason why Rabbi Yudah says you don't have to write Tzavua is by the Soto, at the time Rabbi Yudah shouldn't have seen the Kasa. Is that the reason for Rabbi Yudah, that by Megillah Soto it says the Kasa doesn't say Chsatim to see the Kama? No! The real reason, time Rabbi Yudah, you shouldn't have seen always. All the sense of voice, Lord. But over here by Mezuzah, there's no pasuk one way or the other, except there's no indication one way or the other. Even without a pasuk, Sivatam, I would have said, I only have to write even the last pasuk that had the instruction. You have to write a whole parasha. The whole parasha includes the last pasuk. And for the Gemara, no, it's right. The brisa is needed, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yudah. What? One might have thought, we should derive Xera Shova between Parsha Soto, Xivas Parsha Soto, and Xivas HaMezuzah. That Mahasam, just like over there, all the sense of voice, Lord, just like over there, Rabbi Yehuda has a posse that the apostles are always. So just like over there, Rabbi Yehuda has established based on a different posse, that you don't have to write the instructions, Apahanami, Savois Lo, so here too, by Mezuzah. Savois Lo, I would have thought that you don't have to write the last posse, because Savtam HaMezuzah, Savo Sherecha, that's why I need a posse, because Rahman Uch, Savtam, that's what Rabbi Yehuda requires a posse, but Sivatamo, Afilu Savois, you even have to write into the Mezuzah, the last posse, Uch, Savtam HaMezuzah, Savo Sherecha.
But isn't there a don't look at a
pasuk
and make up a
Xera Shavah
that it has to be by Messiah? So why do you need, if there won't be any
Messiah? Why do I need a pasuk to tell me a false Xera Shavah that was obviously never given the Moshe Nisina? How could you have ever darshan such a Xera Shavah in the first place? That's a very strong kasha. Moshe says that kasha in Bov Metziah. On many other cases, the Gemara says Klodim. How do you darshan Xera Shavah? We have rules and regulations. Is it Mufne at all? Is it Mufne Tzarecha? Mishnei Gzor. Mufne means, is the word miyutar in one of the psukim, or is the word miyutar, the word is really redundant in both of the psukim. The pasuk could have read just as well without that word that you make in the Xera Shavah. Like over here, saptom. You leave that word of saptom so the pasuk doesn't read straight. So this is a Xera Shavah Shein Amut. Could be the Gemara doesn't mean Xera Shavah. Could be. But yet many times in the Gemara, Gemara discusses... Yeah, the Gemara says there's one that's not moving at all, there's one that's moving mitzarecha, there's one that's moving mishnei tzorech. The Gemara gives you all the details. Right. So the Tosis has this kashim, Shabbos, and in the end of Bav Metzia. What is the Gemara talking about? Rules and regulations as to how to darshan the Gzera Shavah. The Gemara of Shachidi had a tradition for this Gzera Shavah and you darshan it, and that's it, the Gzera Shavah halacha Moshe Nisina. Or you didn't have a tradition. You didn't have a tradition. It can be a beautiful Xer Shav, and you can't darshan it. It can be Mufni Mishnei Tzorah, and still no good. So Taisin says, obviously, it doesn't mean exactly like that, that all the Xer Shavs were given to Moshe Sinai, and it's Ishin Pishad, Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's it. You have it the Kabbalah. So Taisin suggests, either the Chachamim had a number of Xer Shavs that were given to Maaser, you have the right to darshan 486 Xer Shavs, and go darshan whatever you want. Then you have rules and regulations. What's a legitimate Xera Shavah? So if you would have darshan this one, Sava, Ksiva, Ksiva, I would have thrown out a different Xera Shavah. That the particular Xera Shavahs were never given, the Xera Shavahs were just given by number. You have a right to darshan 486 Xera Shavahs, 552, I don't know how many there are. Taisus is guessing. They say maybe they had a tradition what the number of Xera Shavahs are, and everybody has Ishka Bayosha Be'ena to darshan his 486 Xera Shavahs as he sees fit. Or Taisus says maybe they had the words the Kabbalah. They had the words, a list of words alphabetically arranged. You have a right to darshan Xera Shavah on Ksiva Ksiva. That you have a right to fish out any Ksiva Ksiva anywhere in Kumash and make any Xera Shavah you want on Ksiva Ksiva. So the Gemara said, well, I would have used it over here. So Kamash Malam Natural, we used the Ksiva Ksiva somewhere else. I don't know what else we darshan on it, but maybe there's some other Ksiva Ksiva that we darshan somewhere else. That's what Taisus and other Rishonim say because of this Kash. But it's a very strong kasha. The parents is very difficult.
I think enough. This is kind of exactly what it's about. I think the word "love" is "love," is "loy," or something. You learned it out. You use the "loy" from here, not the "loy" from there. In other words, I was exactly sure that you made it just this specific word, not to another word like that was interpreted. I mean, there was a more definite word. I'm trying to remember.
But the kash is a starker kash. A difficult point, the Rishonim have a lot of trouble with that. This is one of many Gemaras where it would appear from the Gemara that the Chachamim had the right to darshan Xera Shavahs on their own. and the Gemara says Beferish and other places not so. Einan amdam zera shavu me'atzma, einan ken kibla mi'raboy. Rashi says kibla mi'raboy, ish m'piyish halacha l'moshim yisir, that they have to have had it as a tradition. So how do the Gemara's jive? So the Taisis discuss, and Taisis another Rishonim, work hard on it. I don't know exactly what the answer is.
Is that part of my point that someone said that Shmuel Tesavir is a very sure is one that's definitely Moshe Sinai, the others are not, and versus
the Gemara says, Zereshova, ain't on a dung Zereshova miyatzma, elam ken kibli mirab. Zereshova, you have to have the kabbal. A kabbalchaymer, odam dung miyatzma. The question is, what about the other 11 midrash of Zereshova? Right. And the machlech that you're referring to is, what about the other 11 midrash? Did it need a kabbalchaymer, no Zereshova? What about everything else in between? Talk about the cloud and everything else, what's that law? So Rashi in Sukkah, in the beginning of Lulav HaGozel, on the second half of Lulav HaGozel, Rashi says, and you cannot be done any of the midas without a kabbalah, with the one exception of kal v'chayim. The Tosis and the Rambam disagree with Rashi. Tosis on the daf, and the Rambam and the Hakdamah, the Pirush HaMishnayos, has a whole attack against this Rashi. He says that that's ridiculous. How can you say that you can't be done anything on your own? It's clear from the Gemara that they made up all the drushes on their own. They could darshan them freely. The only one exception to the rule is Gzer Shav. How can Rashi write such a thing? So the Mefarshim point out that Rashi doesn't really say it. If you read Rashi slowly, Rashi says that Rav Yehuda, the Tana, says that, and we don't pass like Rav Yehuda. That's exactly the point of Machlokes is between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim hold, like Tesis and the Rambam point out, that Adam Don Me'atzma, a person could be done on his own, all of the 12 meters out of the 13, with the one exception of Gzer Shav. The only one you cannot be done on your own is the Midah of Gzer Shav.
But then we're back to the Shav again, this is Gzer Shav.
Right, that's the kasha that Tosfos has. There is a very long list of Gemaras, but the Gemara seems to indicate in many places that you can don a Gzer Shav on your own. And the Gemara says that that's against the rules that you can't. So Tosfos can
return it if
you think.
Which one of those you can't? Which part is it that you can't?
The Gemara assumes on that. You cannot be don a Gzer Shav on your own. The Gemara assumes that it wouldn't appear that it's a machlokes. In my case, it's a machlokes in the Gemara. I don't think anybody says it. They give some kind of terutzaman why you would have been done if there was shavani. Then the Gemara quotes another brice, like we said. Well, this brice is the one that goes on the Mishnah. Ul amaratem shiheli mutchatam is the marker for the Mishnah, for the whole baya, for the whole problem of Rabbi Rambi Yosi, of korav aladiktik biyosi yosef. The person read the kriyashma and he swallowed up letters and he didn't pronounce melel melera properly, he didn't pronounce shona shona properly. He's a yotzei b'dyeved. So that machlokes Rabbi Rambi Yosi is based on this din of l'chatchila. That's why it's agav this or l'maritam l'mut chatam that they quoted the chsaptam chsivatam, that they quoted the whole brayso before by the mezuzah. So the Gemara continues, Tani Rav Avadya kameidu Rav. Rav Avadya recited the brayso in the presence of Rav. L'maritam shehei l'mut chatam. When you pronounce kriya shma, when you pronounce anything from Tanakh, you should pronounce all the words properly. Sheyitin revach beinat vekim. The person should leave a little, the person should pause in between the end of one word and the beginning of the next word, if the two words will be stuck together. Bein hadvekim, between two words that will stick together. What does it mean two words will stick together? Oni Rav Abasrei. So Rav had nochke bumkid. After Rav Avadya recited the brayso, so Rav said, I know what that means. And the other brayso started to argue with him. He said, that brayso, shalom ka'alach, we don't need that brayso. Throw it out. And this brayso he liked, he says, I know what that brayso means. Only Rav Basrei, Rav commented after he recited this brayso to Goyin, the marshal the following din, Alev Avecha. So in speaking Hebrew, like in spoken English, you say, Alev Avecha, you're going to be missing one lamed. You say, Alev Avecha, the one lamed will serve as the last lamed of Al, and the first lamed of Lev Avecha. So the brayso tells you, no, you have to pronounce it Al, Lev Avecha. To pronounce a double lamed, one lamed for the end of Al, and one lamed for the beginning of Liv Avecha. That's not spoken language. No normal person speaks like that. But that's Talocha, that you're not supposed to recite Tanakh, not supposed to recite Kriyashma, or Kriyas HaTorah, or Kriyas HaMegillah, or Psukah Dezimur, or Hamdola, any Psukim from Tanakh. Psukim from Tanakh are not allowed to be recited as we speak any language. You have to recite it with Litan Reva, Feinan Zveikin. Yotze b'riyevet, but they're not yotze l'hatchil. They're not yotze
l'hatchil.
Yeah, yeah. That's how the Gemara said, halacha k'divei shneim l'hatchil. The Gemara says, b'paskin l'hatchil. That b'riyevet you yotze, but l'hatchil or not. There's a Musa sefer that used to be very popular in Europe. It's called Yisod v'sherish avodah. By like some resisting. He's a big tzaddik. He lives in a, I think he lives in the days of the Vilna Gaon. He lives in Vilna. So the Musa Sefer assumes it's a Musa Sefer for Goyim. The Musa Sefer assumes that everybody knows what it says in Shas Bavli. The Talmud Bavli. So he only quotes Zohar's and Yerushalmi's. He doesn't quote anything from the Gemara. Only Zohar's and Yerushalmi's. So he, the Mishnah Berura quotes Risa Wolf and something from Yisod V'Shor Shabbat. The Rosh Hashanah is Yud Vav Samachay. He doesn't spell out the whole time. He quotes the Sefer Yud Vav Samachay. That's Yisod V'Shor Shabbat. So he has a famous section, a long section on this din. Litan Ravach Ben Adverik, and he goes through the whole Kriya Shema. And he has in big letters, he points out all the places where you have to pause in between one word and the other, in between one syllable and the other in Kriya Shema. Otherwise you're going to swallow up a syllable or swallow up a letter or something. It has a long detailed analysis of the Kriya Shema. It would take some an hour to recite Kriya Shema the way he describes. Somebody spent an hour on the Kriya Shema. So the Gemara gives you a few examples of where you have to be careful. Al Livavecha, or Al Livavchen, or Bechol Livavecha, or Bechol Livavchen. Esev Bisotcha, that's a difficult one, because one is Esev Bisotcha, one is a base and one is a base. Apparently they had some kind of a pronunciation that they pronounced the base and the base was so similar that if you say it quickly, you'll only pronounce one letter. Bavadita Nehera, that's the same letter, Amen, the swallow of Amen. Hakonof Psil is also a problem. What? Hakonof Psil, one is a fe, one is a pe. So the way we pronounce Kriya Shema, we can go as fast as you want. Hakonof Psil. You won't swallow anything. But apparently they had some kind of a havore that the pe and the fe were so similar that they were identical. And how could be identical? So what are the two letters? One is a pe, one is a fe. They must have been very similar so that they would, if they would say Kriya Shema quickly, they would swallow up one of the letters. Eschem Meyeret, that's the same letter, you'll be missing a man. And then the Tesis quotes in the name of the Rif some additional things to be careful about. One is V'chora Af Hashem Bochem. If you don't observe the Torah Mitzvah, so then Hashem will be angry at you. V'chora Af Hashem Bochem. So if you say Kriya Shema quickly, it sounds like V'chora Af Hashem, and you will curse Hashem. So it sounds like Chiruv V'Gidim. Chiruv means to curse. So you're not permitted. You're not going to swallow anything. You swallow a little bit. The chora, af, about Korah, he has to be careful when he reads Kriya Satorah. Not only when he recites Kriya Shema in the Satorah, the chora, af. This phrase appears many times in Chumash. The chora, af Hashem Bechem. So the Bal Korah has to be careful every time that he leans from a parsha and he says the chora, af, should always be careful not to swallow up the letters, that it should read Chas V'Shalom, the chora, af Hashem. That Hashem. That Hashem should curse, or you should curse Hashem. Then lo yiten revach as nir kimoi v'chara. Also, the Rif quotes more. Uri yisem also v'zachar kemes as yisem es. If you'll daven, if you say Kriya Shema quickly, so it will sound like v'zachar kemes. letter from the previous word will be nimshach into the next word and it won't be pronounced properly. Then there's this quote from the Rif, which is also found in the Yerushalmi of the Chaim. Sorach lahatiz hazayin shalaman tizikiru. Shalai yishamash shin. You shouldn't say laman tizkiru. You should do these mitzvahs in order that you should get schar. You should strike a rich. Laman tizkiru. letter from the previous word will be nimshach into the next word and it won't be pronounced properly. Then there's this quote from the Rif, which is also found in the Yusham and the Chayn. Sorach lahatiz hazayin shalaman tiz kiru. Shalo yusham shin. You shouldn't say laman tiz kiru. You should do these mitzvahs in order that you should get schar. You should strike a rich. Laman tiz kiru. So it doesn't mean that. That's not correct. Laman tiz kiru. You should remember. Uzecharten. By the Zayin. Uzecharten stamiz Hashem. You should remember. You shouldn't say uzecharten. If you say quickly, uzecharten, it sounds like, and you should get rich. You should get a lot of money. Actually, you have to pronounce it uzecharten as a Zayin. And this applies not only to Kriyat Shema. The Gemara has examples on Kriyat Shema, but it's a din in all of Tanakh. When the Baal Kori Rei reads Kriyat HaTorah, Kriyat Shema really has to lean slowly so that he's nice in Rebbe Ben Adrek Machatchila. But the Yevit we passed in the Yates even in Kriyat Shema. But Machatchila it's a din in all of Tanakh and the Pesukah of Zimra and so on. Then the Gemara has a very strange comment, three lines from the bottom. Amar Abchama Rebbe Chanina. Kala Kori Kriyat Shema Medaktik Versi Yaseh. Whoever is careful when he recites Kriyat Shema, he says slowly and he pronounces every single syllable, he doesn't miss any letter, doesn't miss a syllable. Let's say he did a lot of other averes, so the poor fellow is going to have to burn a Gehenna. But they're going to give him a break, they're going to give him an air conditioner. This section of Gehenna, it won't be so hot. That's the Loshna he says. Mitzanim lo Gehenna, he will have it cool. Cooler in Gehenna than the other people. For the I did the same aver that he did, so we both belong in the same place in Gehenna. But because I was medaktik in Kriyat Shema, they recite Kriyat Shema slowly, so I will have it cooler in Gehenna. Shenemani quotes the pasuk. What kind of an idea is this that Mitzanim lo Gehenna? So the mefor, very strange. He has a pasuk that Mitzanim lo Gehenna, that they're going to give him snow in Gehenna. What kind of snow in Gehenna? So the Mefarshim explain it's based on a Medrash Oisius to Rebbe Akiva. They have this in the Greek mythology also, this one. And Oisius, there's a Medrash called Oisius to Rebbe Akiva that there are two Gehenna, there's a Gehenna Shalaish and a Gehenna Shalshelech. And the Tanya, he quotes this, in the Geras Atshuva, and the third Chalik in the Tanya. So he quotes this Oisius to Rebbe Akiva Medrash that there are two Gehenna, there's a Gehenna Shalaish and a Gehenna Shalshelech. What are the Gehenna for? So the Medrash says, the Gehenna Shalaish is for the people who did Averis Bukumi Yaseh. The hot-blooded people, the hot, and they're running around, and they do Averis with the heat. So we're going to burn them again, and they're going to suffer for the heat. And then the Gehenna Shalshelech is for the cold people, the Kalter Menschen, who sit back and they don't have a Hislavis to do mitzvahs. The two kinds of Chatoim that a person can do. He can do an Averis Bukumi Yaseh, he goes and eats Chazen, he goes and eats Mahal Shabbos. Then you have another Aveira, B'Shevi Al-Tasa. He doesn't go to Shul to Lektum, doesn't dab lazy bones. He doesn't say Krishmi, he doesn't shake a lulav, he doesn't sit in Sukkah, he doesn't do. He's a Kalta mensch. So the person who is doing Aveiras because of his coldness, because of his inactivity, so he's a cold person, so we're going to cause him to suffer in the Gehenna Shalish. We're going to put him in an ice box that he should freeze in again. And the other person who does Averis Bekumi Yaseh with the heat, a hot-blooded fellow, with his Yetzirah, with the heat of his Yetzirah, we're going to burn him in the Gehenna Shalish. Yeah. Don't they have in Greek mythology, don't they have a discussion of the guy taking a boat from, takes the Rishonim on a boat ride and he takes them back and forth from the fire to the snow, back and forth in the freezing, and then the and they're burning, I think so. That part is not found in Oisius Rebbe Akiva. That's in the Greek. But this part is found. So the Mefarshim comment on the Gemara that it means like this. For a person to recite Kriyat Shema to be medaktik by Oisius Yaseh, he has to have a lot of time. Be a retired person in effect. No? That's to say slowly, carefully to pronounce every letter. So that's what the Gemara calls like Shelley. A slow guy, he recites Kriyat Shema very slowly, as if he would be, hot people are usually the people who do things quickly, they talk fast, they run, they do everything quickly. And the people who do things slowly are the cold people. That's how the Gemara is using as a lashon. So the Gemara says if this guy was cold, when he was supposed to be cold, usually cold, kaltkeit is a midoroh, that is cold and he doesn't have a hislavis, doesn't have a brand to run to do the mitzvah satir. But here the fellow was cold and he was slow, but he was supposed to be slow. Why was he slow? Because he wanted to recite the Kriyat Shema properly, b'chol levavcha, or b'chol nafshecha, or b'chol yodecha. He pronounces every single syllable slowly and slowly. So when he goes to Gehenim, they're going to give him a little bit from the shelik, from the coldness which is usually given as a punishment for the people who didn't do mitzvah saseh. The Gehenim shashelik is for those who failed to do mitzvah saseh. The Gehenim shalish is for the people who did mitzvahs, who did violations of the lavin, of the loises. So he did lavin, he did aveiros, and he deserves to burn again. But he did a midah teiva of being cold when he should have been cold. So they're going to take a little bit from the cold air, from the Gehenim Shaleg, and put it by his Gehenim Shalesh to cool it off. That's what they say the pshat is mitzanon mo Gehenim. It's not difficult, that's what the Gemara says. Shinema, what's the pasuk? So he put a difficult pasuk in Tilim. The pasuk pshat in the pasuk is very difficult, what it's referring to. The pasuk says, Bifores shadai melochim bo atashleg bitzalmo. Very difficult pasuk. Shin dalad yud is Hashem, that we know. The forest means he's going to spread something out. The other words, we don't know what they mean. Malachim are kings, yeah. What exactly is going on? What kind of king is
it?
Very difficult pasuk. Very difficult. The Gemara has in Sukkah, the Gemara has a whole pshat, there were also psadrash, difficult. The Gemara in the first parak in Sukkah, that heyos or that vav, and the pshat means when Moshe Rabbeinu came up to heaven, that parak I think is speaking about when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven. So he was fighting with the Malachim to get the Torah. They didn't want to let Bnei Yisrael get the Torah, and the Rebbeinu Shalom helped Moshe Rabbeinu to get it. But how did he help him? The Rebbeinu Shalom stretched out something to Moshe Rabbeinu. Before his Shakai Malachim, the Rebbeinu Shalom stretched out something to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Gemara talks about, what did he stretch out? The legs of the Kisei HaKovet? It's a difficult pasuk. The Pasuk Pshat, we don't know exactly what it's referring to. So whatever the Pasuk Pshat is unclear. The Gemara gives a drasha here. Instead of reading the pasuk the way it reads, Beforeis Shakai, when Hashem spread something out at Har Sinai, so the Gemara says, Al Tikri Beforeis Ela Beforeish. The Faresh means to separate and to distinguish and to pronounce to separate one word from the other, one syllable from the other, so you don't swallow up any letters, you don't swallow up any syllables. And Al Tikri Bitzalmon Ela Bitzalmovis. Salmon is referring to Gehenna. And Tashlig means Mitzanon and Loganim. They take a little snow from the Gehenim Shalshaleg and they put it into his Gehenim Shalesh and they cool it off there. So the Pasuk Al-Pidrash, the Pasuk reads, the Torahs, when you separate the words in Shakai means when you Mekabal Al-Malcho Shamayim, the Pasuk means the Ribbono Shel is spreading something out. And the Gemara darshans it to mean that you are separating between the words when you are being Mekabal Al-Malcho Shakai on yourself. So then Tashlig Bitzalmon, then you'll have snow in Gehenim. Then they'll take from the Gehenim Shalshelig and put it into the Yuga Gehenim Shalesh and it'll be cooler for you. It's not difficult, Rosh. Anyway, Bikitsa, the Gemara is saying that it's highly recommended to pronounce Kriya Shema slowly and carefully, so you should pronounce every letter. And it's not only Kriya Shema. Here, this is a Maila by Shaka, means by B'Shaz Kabbalah from Alpha Shamayim. But the Dinla Hatchila Vulamaratam Shehe Limut Chatam says in Shulchan Aruch that it applies Lahatchila to all Tanakh and all Pesukim in Zimra. And any time you say anything from Tanakh, have to pronounce the words carefully. The Amar Abchama B'Rebbe Chanina quotes another Drosh. He was the one who just said about Mitzanon and Logehenim, so the Gemara quotes another member, and even though it's absolutely unrelated, but it's the same Mandama, so they quote another member. Roman Ismuchu Aholim Linachali. Akam the Pasuk writes also a Hekish in the area of Agarata. Again, we have two things mentioned. This is a shadow, this is a hekish or this is a smuchin. You have a hekish, or you say loma nismuchu, we'll see. You have two things mentioned, one next to the other. A river that's kosher for a mikveh, and a tent where people sit and learn. A beis medrash. So why is the tent, a hala shal tera, why is the tent, a beis medrash, mentioned next to the mikveh? The siv, where is the pasuk that says a beis medrash next to the mikveh? The siv, in the ruas bilam, it says, "Kenecholim nitoyu, keganas alinah, aholim not Hashem." Here's the whole nevuah. So he speaks of the aholim not Hashem, of the tents that the Rebbeinu Shlomim has pitched. Not Hashem doesn't mean that he planted; he pitched the tents. And he speaks of necholim nitoyu, the rivers that are flowing, that the malchus of the Jewish nation will be flowing for a long time. It will be sturdy like the tents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pitches. So how come these two are mentioned in the same pasuk? The mikveh, the river which is kosher for a mikveh, and the tent where the people learn in, the hekish, the fact that the same pasuk teaches me that there's some kind of relationship, what is that? Just like a river is good to serve as a mikveh. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. There are a lot of halachas, when it's good, when it's not. Yeridei, we give you all the details. So just like a river is sometimes good to remove tumah, it elevates the person, malas adam, it elevates him from the lower level of tumah to a higher level of tahara, Afoholim, so too, a Beis HaMedrash, when a person sits and learns, Mala Misadim Ikat Choyvel Akav Zchus. It elevates the person to a higher level, and then it helps him to do mitzvahs. So is this the pasuk that is referring to? This pasuk in the Nevuah's Bilam that says, Kaholim not Hashem? That's how Rashi says. Rashi learns the Gemara as we just read it now. Kinecholim Nitoyu is the Nachal, is the Mikvim. Kaholim not Hashem is referring to the tent that were pitched by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Taisus disagrees with Rashi the Taktais. They say that that's not the pshat in the pasuk. You have a pasuk in Shir Hashem that says, "More baholos and kol Rashi b'samim." So ahol is not the same as ohel. Ohel is a tent. Ahol is a spice that's planted. Ahol is not Hashem means the spices that were planted by Kadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't mean aholim. Aholim not Hashem would have been referring to tents that were pitched by Kadosh Baruch Hu. But aholim not that means spices that were planted. The Tosfos says, "V'li nira," they quote the Rashi, "Aholim nata refers to the tent of a pitch. V'li nira da aholim da high quote lav loshin ohel, a loshin besamim like the pasuk in Shir Shirim, more aholim." And the nira that it doesn't mean a hekish that you have two things in the same pasuk. Here we're darshaning smuchim. You have one pasuk next to the other. Not only can you darshan a hekish and agarite, you can darshan smuchim also one pasuk next to the other. And even though it's bamidbar, the Gemara says that. In Sefer Dvarim, everybody agrees you can darshan smuchim, but in the other four chumashim from Bereishis is still bamidbar. It's an achlegis hatana. One tanner of Yehuda holds you always darshan smuchim, and the others hold that. So this, the way Tosfos learns this gemara, this is a smuchim. Mama nisnuchim is a smuchim. One pasuk next to the other. That one pasuk says matovu ohalecha Yaakov. Ohalecha means an ohel. That's a tent, a holy Torah. And that pasuk is right next. Okay. We need to ask Machta. Okay. Yeah. So the Tosfos, it's
they're leaving. They made a point to go all the way through the pasuk to reach the hall and nothing. Just say the first few words.
But where is the next pasuk, Matovu? That's after.
Yeah.
That's after. You have to look in the Chumash. I think Matovu is after this. You have to look when it's before or after. If it's after, then you understand why the Gemara continues so far. Can Achal Mitoyu, Kahal Nat Hashem, Vigomer. Vigomer means, and go weiter, the next pasuk. I don't know, you have to look in the Chumash whether Matov is before or after.
Matov is one of the last ones that he said.
Anyway, the simple reading of the Gemara sounds like Rashi. The way we have it sounds like Rashi. But Tosfos says that it can't be because this word is not Oholim, it's Aholim. Aholim is a whole different word. Don't have a whole pasuk. More va aholos, ahol, ahol in Shir Hashirim is a spice. There's another pasuk there in Shir Hashirim. There's a Sefer HaOreh by a Talmud of Rashi. It's available in school. Of course, a lot of times Rashi should, in Yeshiva they don't use it so much, but they should use it. It's very good. Of course, a lot of things from Rashi that we don't know from the Gemara of Rashi. Quote Psakim and Hogim and Hanhogas of Rashi. So in yeshivas they quote, they don't look in the sefer, so they don't know what the title is, so they sing Sefer HaAlevav Reishei, they think Sefer HaOra, the Book of Light. He enlightens everything. It's not clear, it's not Sefer HaOra, it's Sefer HaOreh. What's his Oreh? Oreh is also from Shir Hashirim there. Those psukim says, Orisi Morim Misome Chalti Yarim Divshi, Shusin Siyenim Chalobi. Oreh means to be malake. Orisi Morim Misome means, Orisi means I collected. He collected one thing and another. So the Sefer HaOreh is a book of collections. He's malake, different vertlach from Rashi. Look, gotta know Shir Hashirim. Shir Hashirim has a lot of hard words. Not just Aholim and Oreh, has a lot of difficult psukim. Now the Gemara continues with the Mishnah. Let's see in the Mishnah. So far we learned two dinim in the Mishnah. First of all, what if a person recites Kriya Shema so softly that he wasn't Mashmir Liyaznav? And the second was, what if he was Mashmir but he wasn't Medaktik Bois Yosef? What about Hakori Lamafreya Lo Yotze? A person recites the Pesukim of Kriya Shema out of order, then he's not Yotze. The Rambam writes, if he recites the Parshis out of order, then he is Yotze. We learned earlier in the Perek that you have to first say Shema, then Vahoyom, Shema, then Vahoyom. And there's all reason why. What if B'diyevet, he reads it out of order, first he says Vahoyom, and then he says Vahoyom, Shema, and he says Shema, B'diyevet, you are Yotze. So when does the Mishnah say if you read L'mafreya out of order, you're not Yotze? Minei Bey, within any one parsha. If you read out of order, you're not Yotze. Korah V'tor, the Mishnah concludes, what if he's saying Krishna? And he made a mistake. What if he made a mistake? He left out a word, he left out a pasuk. So the Mishnah says, Yachzor L'mach M'shatah, the Allah doesn't say. One might have said, look, he left out a word in the middle of Krishna. He already went weiter. So you had a hepsik. He said a whole bunch of words that don't belong. So he has to go back to the beginning of the parsha. So the Mishnah says, no, he doesn't have to go back to the parsha. Yachsa namach mishatah. He doesn't just go back to that place, even though he's already said a whole bunch of words that don't belong, because he's going to have to go back. Now he doesn't have to go back and start all over again, even though there was a slight hepsik. Let him just go back to that place where he made the mistake. What do you mean, that place where he made the mistake? That's what he says. V'yachas Hashem akar b'chol b'afchol b'chol nafshcha umi yodecha. You got to say b'chol. So he just says b'chol mi yodecha. Is that good enough? Or do you have to go back to the beginning of the pasuk? That's the same shadow when you have Kriyas HaTorah and the Balkari makes a mistake. So everybody starts screaming. So does he have to go back to the beginning of the pasuk, or is it sufficient if he goes back to that word which he left out and he continues? So that's the Meforshim point out the Machloikas on our Mishnah over here. The Tosfos comments on this Mishnah. On Tezainim and Aleph. On Tosfos, Tezainim and Aleph, the second Tosfos from the top says, the third line, the second line of Tosfos, Im hoyu yodea mehechon to, if a person made a mistake in Kriyas Shema and left out a word, left out a pasuk and he knows where, shedilek tevo, he skipped the word, whole pasuk, or he skipped the pasuk, ain't it zoch lachzer ala meyosef pasuk v'yela, v'chein b'hal v'megillah. He only has to go back to the beginning of that pasuk, but they say you have to go back to the beginning of the pasuk. Right, Tosfos sounds like you have to go back to the beginning of the pasuk. So the Mishnah is...
Well, you're talking about a pasuk then, you know. Oh, it's not, but if you're going to miss the word, you might go back to the word.
Okay, okay, could be, could be.
There's no question, but it's still the beginning of the Megillah. And when I isolated the Megillah, I used to say, Ishbik man, Rukman, or whatever it was, and today, these good folks heard it go way back, they said a whole pasuk all over.
This is the Shaila. This is the Shaila. If you made a mistake in the middle of a pasuk, and you have to read over it, you have to go back to the beginning of the pasuk, is it enough if you go to that point on? So the Meforshim claim that Tosfos sounds like you say it's not necessarily Mukhra. They say the simple reading of Tosfos sounds like whether you've left out a delay table, left out a word, or you left out a pasuk, you have to go back to the beginning of also pasuk. Sounds like even if you left out a word. No. You can think so.
You can think
so. So they say from Tosfos it sounds like you have to go back to the beginning of the pasuk. The Levush, or Mordechai Yaffa, has a Sefer HaShulchan called the Levush Mordechai. So the Levush and Hilchas Kriya Shema, Norachayim writes against this, that you don't have to go back to the beginning of the Pasuk, it's sufficient if you go back to that word. And then the Balatanya and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes a compromise, he writes a Hachra. It depends what the error was. If you have sort of a semicolon or a comma in the middle of the Pasuk and you're reading a whole clause, let's say you left out a word, you pronounced the word wrong, and then you're reading a whole clause from then on to the end. So just start from there. But let's say, V'ish lo amad lifnehem. So you didn't say over lifnehem. You said, V'ish lo amad lifnehem. You said over the whole phrase. That's what the Balatanya says. You shouldn't say, in the Megillah there's a question whether the pasuk should be read, V'ish lo amad lifnehem or lifnehem. The suffix, what the correct reading should be. So some Balakriya makbet to say it over twice. So what do you mean to say what over? Just the word? Or the whole phrase, or the whole pasuk? So the Balatanya says, right. So the Balatanya has this compromise. He says, not like the Levush, who says you just go back to that word, Vishlamad Bifnehem, Lifnehem, and you go weiter. And not like Tosfos that you always have to go back to the very beginning. Balatanya has your compromise. He says that you say over the phrase, you don't have to go back to the beginning of the pasuk. You say over that whole inyan. If it's a salik inyana before then, so you can start from that inyan. That's the Balatanya Zachro. So there are different opinions.
Right.
That's the Shaila and Tosfos. Right. According to the Achronim say, according to Tosfos, you should say over the whole pasuk. And according to Levush, you should just say over the word. And according to the Balatanya, you should say over Timche Zechar Amolek, Timche Zechar Amolek. Say over the phrase. You have to go back to the beginning of the pasuk, or you should say over the whole phrase. Those are the three different sheets.
Yeah,
so all the three shittas are practiced. The Mishnah Brura says the Chachidah should say over the whole pasuk. Mishnah Brura has in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. In Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah he quotes like that, that the Chachidah, if the Balkari made a mistake, you should go back to the very beginning of the pasuk. Sometimes that will confuse all the Balabatim. They wonder what in the world is going on. Where is he learning from? They're going to get lost. Said. That's also an important consideration. Mix everybody up and sure you're going to lose all the balabat, and then you're going to be lost for the next three psukim. You're going to be missing a lot. That's a problem.
People say this Sheva Shevet.
If you've mispronounced a word and there's a Shema, you've already said a Shema Hashem, you should finish the pasuk. No, it doesn't make any sense. There's no more. No, let's say the Baal Kori is laning and he made a mistake in the pasuk. So does he just go back to the beginning, or does he have to finish this pasuk and then go back? So by many shuls, they have a practice that if there was a Shema Hashem mentioned in the part of the pasuk that he said, even though he made a mistake, then he has to finish the pasuk and then go back. So that, I don't think that has any makom at all. Not I don't think. The poskim say it has no makom. The poskim say there's no makom. No. And they say there's a sefer Shari Ephraim. And he was clear as I heard that the Mishnah Berurah was quoted from the Gemara Rabban Chaim Zalman Margolis. On the bottom of the page they quote such a practice and he says it has absolutely no makom whatsoever, no rhyme or reason to it. Why should he have to finish the poskim just because he said a shem?
Let's say the shem was in the beginning of the poskim. He made a mistake at the end of the poskim.
No. They still have the same three sheetahs. According to Tosfos, they have the whole pasuk. According to the Rush, you just say from that point of the year around, from the middle of the pasuk, according to the Baal HaTanya, you can't start the stump start in the middle. You have to say over a whole phrase and then go to the end.
When you
follow the Megillah in the Tanakh,
and you think you heard it, you didn't hear it,
and
you heard it in the
same,
so
you just say the words, you go back and say it. No, you were Yaitzeh from the beginning of the Pasuk, which Shemeh Kaina from the Baal Kore.
Up until that point, and then you pick up from that point that you didn't hear, you continue to say.
But Mishnah Berurah should also hold the Hasidic
from that.
No, I don't think so. Same thing, you're saying the same thing. You mean because of the Hepsik? I don't think that's a Hepsik. That's not a Hepsik if I'm what? If I'm not speaking, that, I mean I hear noise, I hear a racket.
You missed the word.
So that if I miss the words, I don't want to be urged with the rest of what the Baal Kori is reading until I'm going to make up that word. So that's not a Hepsik. But this, that the Baal Kori is saying words, is not a Hepsik for me. If the kids are making noise, that's not a Hepsik. I don't want to be urged with Shmei Kohen with the Hepsik. I want to be urged with Shmei Kohen at the beginning of the Pasuk until the point that it is good for me. Then from then on, I don't want to be urged with anything. So I pick up from that point where
You can think that
that's how the Achronim take it, that Tosfos represents the third sheep, the most Kumadika sheep. On the bottom of the Mishnah, they point out the three sheep, the Tosfos, the Levush, and the Baal HaTanya, Shulchan Aruch of the Baal HaTanya. At the end of Parshas Kisisa, the Chumash has a pasuk that in the beginning of Shvi, Hayom Hashem Omer Shekstov L'chol Et HaDvarim Ho'ele Ki Al Pi HaDvarim Ho'ele Karat Yitcho Bris Ve'es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, she write down the Chumash, L'chol Et HaDvarim Ho'ele, these words, the Torah Shebichtav, Ki Al Pi HaDvarim Ho'ele, because based on this Torah Shebichtav, there will be a Kriyas Bris with the Jewish nation. Kriyas Bris is that He gave us a Torah and He required us to fulfill all the mitzvahs. So the Gemara has in Gittin Daf Samach a whole interpretation of this pasuk. They take the pasuk and they turn it upside down. The Gemara says in Gittin Daf Samach and Perek Hanazot, "Manichus Abris in Israel Ela Al Teresh and Alter." The Kriyas Bris was not based on Teresh Bichsav. Teresh Bichsav, the Goyim also read the Bible. They read the Holy Bible. The Kriyas Bris was only on Teresh and Alter, which the Goyim don't have. Our uniqueness of the Jewish nation is that we alone have the Teresh and Alter. They don't have. In fact, many Rishonim and Achronim say that the Gemara has an idea. One is not permitted to teach Torah through an offering. But also, Chenachal Goyim, Mishpatim Malidom, how do we call that you're not permitted to teach Mishpatim Malidom? They don't know the Mishpatim. You're not permitted to teach the Torah through an offering. It only refers to Torah Shabbat Pet. Torah Shabbat Sav, you may teach them. The Gemara says in Soto, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when Yeshua Benun came into Eretz Yisrael, they had to write down on the 12 stones, Kol HaTorah Kula, the whole Torah Shabbat Sav. Why? For what purpose? So the Gemara said, the Goyim should come and learn what it says in the Chamish HaChamishei Torah. So the Mefarshim says, what do you mean they should learn Chamish HaChamishei Torah? But it's an Easter, you're forbidden to teach Torah to the Nochim. So many Paschim say the Easter only applies to the Torah Shabbat, Peh doesn't apply to the Torah Shabbat Sav. And the reason for the Easter is that the Kriyas Bris for the Jewish nation is only made based on the uniqueness of the Jewish nation, that we alone have the Torah Shabbat Peh. And the Torah Shabbat Sav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave for all the human souls. It's okay, they can read what it says there. So how do you see this in the pasuk Al-Pi? Al-Pi means Al-Pi. Sof Zohar refers to Torah Shabbat Zav, and Al-Pi refers to Torah Shabbat Zav. How do you read the pasuk? The Hebrew doesn't make sense. so on. Apparently, the Gemara is darshaning as follows: the word ki mishamish bedalat l'shenis. Rashi says, "Klimish many times." The word ki has many different meanings. In Yiddish, they say ki mishamish bedalat l'shenis. They say that Avraham Avinu bought this ben abakar shir asur, that he shechted the cow. He shechted one cow, and then he served the food for the malachim. There were three malachim in Avraham Avinu. So Rashi says that he brought everybody loshen b'chadli. How could he shech one cow and have everybody have tongue for four people? He had tongue for three malachim for himself. So in Yiddish they say that the ki mishamish b'dal l'shenis. The cow had four tongues. B'dal l'shenis. What does it mean b'dal l'shenis? The word ki has four different meanings. It has more than four meanings. If you look in Rashi, Rashi has another meaning in that count. The same meaning has around 10 meanings. The word ki is a very vague word.
Okay.
Has various... Yeah. So the word ki has a lot of pirushim. So one of the various pirushim of the word ki is because. Ki means because. And one of them is despite the fact that, just the opposite of because. Despite the fact that, for example, it says earlier here, if is another one, if or when, different shot. So one of the meanings is, for example, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
even though.
The Marshal here before, after the Chet Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy the Jewish people, so Moshe Rabbeinu says no.
Even though
Hashem is Baruch should go, should be Mashu, should be Yas, Ki Am Kishayorifu. How do you read? Because we do Averis, therefore he should be with us. So some of Hashem say, yes, because we do Averis, therefore he should be with us and exercise his Midah of forgiving on Averis. So come to us, we'll give you a lot of business. If you'd like to forgive sins, come to the Jewish nation, Ki Am Kishayorifu, we'll give you a lot of business, we'll give you a lot of Averis to forgive. It's a difficult shot. So the Ibn Ezra says, Ki Am Sheref Hu means, despite the fact that we Am Sheref, still you should come to us. So that's apparently how the Gemara Darshan, the Gemara understood the word over here like that. There are many Pesukim in Tanakh like that. The Ibn Ezra quotes in the Meiri, different Rishonim have various Pesukim in Tanakh where the word Ki means, Apalpi, despite the fact that just the reverse from the meaning of Ki, that's because. So here the Gemara understands the Pesuk, Ksav L'chas Advarm Ha'ele, you should write down the Torah Shebichtav. What do we need it for? If the goyim are also going to have Torah Shavasav, so it's an Mishkan Yiddish Azak. What does Moshe Rabbeinu have to work so hard on the Chumash for? Hamishu Chumashay Torah. If the Umas Torah is going to have it, let some goy write down the Chumash. The Rabbeinu Shalom says now, Ki Al Pi Advarim Ha'ele Karati Yitcha Bris Vayas Yisrael. Despite the fact that Al Pi Advarim Ha'ele, Al Pi means despite the fact that the priest is Bris, will be on the Torah Shavasav. Nevertheless, I want you to write down the Torah Shavasav that it should be called Torah Moshe. Even though the Yom HaSolem are going to be using Torah Shebichtav and the uniqueness of the Jewish nation is only going to be based on the Torah Shebichtav, nevertheless, I want you to write down the Torah Shebichtav also that it should be called Torah Shebichtav. So the Gemara interprets the pasuk like that, that Ki means, despite the fact that, and Ksav Lecha refers to Torah Shebichtav, and Al-Pi is referring to Torah Shebichtav. So the Gemara says, based on this pasuk, Rashi quotes in Achumish. Ksav Lecha is Hadvarim Ha'ela. Ela is a miyut. Eile v'loy acher. You should only write down these things. That the Torah Shebichtav you're allowed to write. Torah Shebichtav you're not permitted to write down. And then the pasuk continues, Ki al pi hadvarim ha'eile. Hadvarim ha'eile is not hadiyuk, another miyut. Only al pi hadvarim ha'eile, only these things are Torah Shebichtav. Torah Shebichtav you're not permitted to say b'alpeh. So this pasuk is the marker of the din that the Balkari has to lay in the Megillah and the Sefer Torah looking inside. He's not supposed to say words b'alpeh. He's not supposed to say b'alpeh. You're not permitted to recite Torah Shebichtav Balpeh. And Dvarim Shebalpeh, Iyatam Rasha Leyamim Bichtav. You're not permitted to write down the Torah Shebalpeh. So the Gemara says in Temura, but we do have the Torah Shebalpeh written down. The Mishnayos and the Talmud, everything is written down. So we're violating the Aveir of writing down Torah Shebalpeh. So the Gemara says, that's right, we are violating the Aveir. All the Jewish nations violating the Aveir. How can it be? We're all reform, we're all violent, are we? The Gemara says, yes, we have a pasuk that says, Eis la'asos la'shem, Eshere Torasecha. What does it mean? When you have a big tzorech, normally the halacha says that you're not permitted the bezden.